Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Colosso Soprano.
Go!
The premier destination for soccer talk with Emmy Award-winning play-by-play man Dan Dibley.
Work.
And international soccer savant Rick Tittle.
Work it, work it.
Let's kick it off.
Well, the window may be closed, Rick, but it's never closed on Golazo Supremo. Go!
Das Fenster ist geöffnet immer!
Whatever you said, I totally agree with you.
I said in German, the window is always open.
Yes, and the schnitzel is always cooling by the window sill. Rick Tittle, Dan Dibley, back with more Golazo Supremo. We will take a look back at match day 4 in the Premier League, and of course, the transfer window is now closed for the summer. Some moving, some goings on that took place. A big injury to a Man City defender. And of course, all the Tottenham and Chelsea that any young lad could possibly like.
Of course.
What stands out, Rick, about match day 4 as we take a brief look back at the week that was? Some pretty fascinating results in the Prem.
Yeah, for me, it was, as a Tottenham fan, to... You think about in the earliest stages of the season, 4 weeks in, you're going to go to Man City and to Arsenal. And you think, boy, if we could just get ties there, we'll be fine, which they did. But you feel sour still.
Really sour.
Because you're up to, if you're down 2-0 and you tie 2-2, you feel like a win. If you're up 2-0 and then you give up 2, it feels like a loss. But it's that Newcastle loss at home, 1-0, that stings. Because had they won that, I'd be feeling not that bad about throwing away the 2-goal lead. Not as bad as I feel, because I kind of felt like they would get back on track. And now I feel like my jinx has really hit them about winning the Premier League, which already 4 weeks in makes me look pretty dumb.
Before we scapegoat you, which it's easy to do, and I'm not saying that you don't deserve a lion's share of the blame.
It's real.
What's up with Mauricio Pochettino and the sour expression and the team seemingly not really responding for him? He makes the changes that everyone thought that he should have made a long time ago, which is bringing Jan in, Jan Vertonghen in defense, and also Christian Eriksen actually got to start a game. It doesn't seem like he has a solid grasp of the dressing room right now, Rick.
He said, and he's a very honest guy, I don't know if I would have said this, but he said, I've never had such an unsettled group to start a season. Vertonghen claims that he loves it there and he was held out not because of fitness, it was tactical. And then, of course, the tying goal from Aubameyang came when Vertonghen switched off. And all you got to do, 1 second, switch off. So it was actually his fault, unfortunately. But I hate the fact that it used to be the transfer window in Europe was the same as in England. And you go into the season and you go, is Berbatov staying or going? Is Bale?
Always Berbatov.
Always that. Modric, I was thinking about Michael Carrick. But England's like, screw this. We're going to do it before the window. Now, what they should have done, if they really wanted to make it their own, nobody in and nobody out by the time our season starts. But they did it half-ass. Nobody in by the time the season starts. But we can sell.
Right.
So you haven't solved anything. You've created this Ethan Strauss, Kevin Durant, tete-a-tete, should I stay or should I go, Joe Strummer. It's just, I hate it. Either be like Europe, and Pochettino said we should still be like Europe. Either go all in or go all out. Don't go halfway.
But if you are in a situation where there are half measures and you have a player like Christian Eriksen, isn't it incumbent upon you to make that move while you can still transfer in and transfer out? Because Tottenham did so much to add so many this offseason. Ndombele, who was unfortunately a little nicked up, but other players in. Kieran Trippier is out. Couldn't they have found a destination for Eriksen?
Well, there was talk that Real Madrid and then Atletico Madrid were both interested, and there was a rumor that Man United want him, but Eriksen said he would never play for another English club. It's weird because you have your by far your best midfield player. And we talked about the stats with assists and goals and everything. You have by far your best, you know, the best player in Denmark. And he says, you know what? I'd like to get a new challenge. You know, I like it here, but I want to be Panda and go to Boston, whatever it was. And so now you really don't want to sell him, but you want to see how disgruntled is he. Is he going to sit on his fanny? In England, I can't say that. Is he going to sit on his rump and do, on his backside, his bottom, and do nothing? Or is he actually going to give a full effort? So they took him on preseason. It seemed like he was giving a full effort. So you really don't want to sell him unless he's a malcontent. But he wasn't a malcontent. So it was this nebulous, weird thing. Eriksson said today, I don't regret saying what I said because that's how I felt. Now, the only bad thing is they'll probably still shop him for the January window now. I hope they don't, though. I hope they say, look, you're here for the year. We've already dropped 3 points at home. We've dropped 4 on the road. So we need you, and you're stuck here. And if you want to leave, we'll let you leave at the end of the season.
A tremendous game from stem to stern both ways. 2-2 Arsenal and Spurs with the draw. Just one more before we depart that fixture and look at other ones. How about your boy Guendouzi, who looks like David Luiz, but doesn't play like David Luiz? And no knock to the great defender, but Guendouzi, the 20-year-old for Arsenal, he is electrifying when you add in Lacazette, who is a talisman, and of course, Aubameyang, the aforementioned striker. Arsenal, at its best, has great potential. Shout out Granit Xhaka.
Loved, and it kills me as a Germany fan to see the pipeline from Mertesacker to Ozil to Aubameyang, these guys coming over from the Bundesliga. Aubameyang's a great player. He was at Borussia Dortmund. Lacazette, it's funny, I've never seen him do anything, and then he was great in the NLD this time. The guy they brought
North on... London Derby, for those of you not keeping up.
Yes, Ceballos was a guy who originally said he'd come to Tottenham, and he changed his mind, and I wish we had got him. Even though he's a stick figure out there, he really got the game going when he came on, and I kind of look at Giovanni Lo Celso now, and he came on, and he's like, what am I doing? What position do I play? What am I supposed to do? And he still looks like he's out of sorts, not like Ceballos who hit the ground running. But the Guendouzi guy, yeah, he's hard to look at. I mean, I feel bad. He's 20. His hairline is at the back of his head, but he has Larry Fine. I read 3 bottles of conditioner every time he takes his shower. I might have made that up.
Maybe.
Yeah. But the thing that was frustrating about Guendouzi is that he was always wide open. And he's a little fragile thing. Why won't you mark him? So, I don't know. They got that lead and they started sagging and they didn't park the coach in the box. But, I mean, still, it was almost like that.
Harry Kane, an unbelievable chance from the right edge of the 6. I don't know how he got that ball on frame. In one motion, he touches, turns, and unleashes with inside-out spin.
Yeah, it was the outside of the right boot. It was the old Roberto Carlos, and he almost got it in. And that would have made it. That would have made it 3-1.
Yes, and it's a different game from then on. But as it sits, Spurs 9th on 4 points after 4 fixtures. At City, brutal. At Arsenal, daunting. So the schedule will lighten up. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Man U 1, Southampton 1. It's kind of fun, I think, to watch this Manchester United team when you look out there and it's a lot of youth. You got David De Gea, maybe the greatest goalkeeper in the world, but in front of him, a bunch of U23 guys, basically. I mean, not to disparage the talent,
right?
Because these are all top-level players with great quality, as we say in soccer.
Yes.
Quality.
Enunciate your T.
But the youth, it's a fun watch, this Man U team. You don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, and I know they broke the bank on bringing in Harry Maguire from the Foxes and all that, but I'm sure people are having... This is why you're supposed to get your badges and you're supposed to win a league somewhere else before they hire you, and you get an Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in there, and you're like, well, maybe he's not tactically the guy. You know, the gaffer gets the blame, and it's the same thing. Somebody, my old boss is a huge Chelsea fan, and he just said, what's wrong? And I just wrote back, Lampard, because it's an easy excuse.
Right.
It's an easy
blame
excuse.
Blame the manager.
Yeah, blame a guy who's never won anything. Great player and is from his time there. So I wonder how hot that seat is for him. We know there are a lot of Man United fans that hate the fact that all they bought really was a defender. And more rumors of Pogba leaving in January. I don't know. But Old Trafford is not the once... I mean, it's still hard, but it's not the most daunting fortress it used to be.
Yeah, Daniel James is definitely a bright spot as he got his third goal in 4 matches. McTominay is finally getting more time. So as you look across Paul Pogba does kind of feel like a bit of an odd man out because he is such a veteran player on an otherwise young team.
That's a guy who has to be... He sort of reminds me, at the end of Ruud Gullit's career, he stopped being a striker and he became a sweeper. And we almost have no more, as we know, liberos anymore. He was a sweeper at Sampdoria, and I liked that team at the time. And every game, it seemed, and this is when it used to be on Channel 9, the Serie A, this is in the early 90s at every game of the week, but it seemed like whenever they needed a goal, he would come out of his own half and he would score one, and then he'd go back to being like a sweeper. To me, Pogba, as good as he is offensively, to me, he's like a sweeper type of guy. A guy like Franz Beckenbauer when he was a sweeper. Like, I will stop everything, but if you need a goal, I'll get you that too. That's the kind of role I see him in. So I don't really know. I think he wonders sometimes what his role is.
Yeah, especially with that team that likes to play so much through the wide areas, mm-hmm. using the speed of Rashford and the skill of Martial. They don't necessarily play through Pogba, which I think that's where he's at his best, mm-hmm. using his speed, but also his physicality in the center of the field. And he's a player who needs to be engaged. And if you're not giving him a lot of the ball and a lot of attention, he tends to disappear.
Yeah. And, you know, that's on him too. He's got to pull.
No doubt. And that's always been the knock on Pogba, yeah. is that he's at times been inconsistent, more in focus than in skill.
Somebody has to go there and kiss his behind, or as you said, you know, the Lingards of the world, they have to, before they take it down the wing, give him one more touch.
Yeah.
Now put it a through ball, I'll run under it.
Elsewhere, we had what I would like to call the turd in the punch bowl game of the weekend, as Stamford Bridge got to witness old Sheffield United coming back 2-2 the final. Tammy Abraham, by the way, looks to be quite a player for Chelsea,
yeah.
especially in light of all the losses they had in the non-transfer window that Chelsea...
Where did they loan him out to last year?
It wasn't Juventus, was it?
I'm trying to remember, but they loaned him out, and then they're like, yeah, we'll have him back now.
Yeah, we need him back, but not enough to get by one of the Uniteds that I said would be relegated.
Yeah.
An absolute draw on a platter as Chelsea implodes late at Stamford Bridge.
Well, I'll put this to you because you're the Chelsea fan. Where are you seeing the lack of whatever? And of course, everybody always wants to ask us about Christian Pulisic too.
And I thought he played better. You know, at times he's showing a capability at that level, but I think he still, in his mind, is not fully aware of where he's playing. He's making moves 1v2, 1v3, that look to me more like he thinks he's on the training ground in Indianapolis, right. going up against some American, I don't want to say
Lima.
Nobody. Yeah, and I don't want to disparage our American talent because
right.
we do have a lot of great young players, including the pride of Castro Valley, Nick Lima.
Yeah.
But going against Nick Lima is slightly different right. than taking on some of the better central defenders in the English Premier League.
I found with Pulisic with the national team is I kind of feel like he tries to do too much because he knows he's our best player. We know he's our best player. And I'm not saying he's a chicken with his head cut off, but I sometimes think if you take all that energy and just maybe channel it into a couple of things instead of everything. Is that what you're seeing? Or
yes, and I think it's more just a case of thinking he can do things with the ball that he's used to being able to do, but not being able to get away with it at this level, as
right.
we like to say. He
yes.
did find his way on the sheet via an assist on, I believe, Abraham's second goal, Jorginho with an assist as well, but Zuma with the own goal, an unfortunate own goal late, 2-2. Chelsea continues to kind of list in place. I do want to hit on one more result before we really dive into the transfer window activity, and that is what I like to call, well, I didn't make it up. The expression is Pyrrhic victory.
Yes.
Manchester City 4, Brighton 0, but the Citizens lose one of the more underrated defenders in the Premier League as Laporte goes out with a bad injury.
No, and that's why you have to have depth, you know, and sometimes people say, well, why would you sign this guy? Why would you sign that guy? The Tottenham fan would say, well, why do we sign Lo Celso? And I go, I think that was mostly because they thought Eriksen was going to leave, but even if Eriksen is there, these guys pick up knocks. I love the Pyrrhic victory, by the way. I used that one time in a post game, and Ken Korak complimented me on it.
That's big.
I know. He goes, I love the Pyrrhic victory line.
That's big time when you get a Korak compliment.
I know. Then we talked about King Pyrrhus together, and yeah, it was pretty cool.
Because that's from where it comes.
But yeah, and it's, in other words, you win a battle, but you can't stay in the area you won. So you actually lost. Like, hey, we won the war. All your troops are dead. Well, and did we really win? So yeah, but you know, this is why you need depth, and every team has it. You have one of your stars and think, ah, if he could only be healthy, and especially strikers, because they get kicked black and blue every game, up and down, and they're running with their head, you know, they're running with their back to goal. You know, they're throwing, they're bravely throwing their head into a goalie punch. They always seem the one to be the ones the most battered.
And it looks like Laporte is going to be out for, quote, a while, which you never want to hear with the knee injury. So I don't know where the citizens turn for defense, because really the only, and I won't say it's a weakness of that team, but you think about the defensive pairing at the back. Laporte was so important anchoring that piece. They have so much talent across the remainder of the field. Do they have the depth? Can Nicolas Otamendi step in and be that reliable piece? Because we've seen at times Otamendi get caught out and make mistakes in defense.
Well, Otamendi started for him all last year. I'm sure they're quite happy with him. I wonder if he's run out of skin, continued on next body with his tattoos. Probably has a snake on his face by the time I say this.
Man.
Laporte, by the way, means the door. So he's out the door. The Italians, in fact, call the goalkeeper the portiere, the doorman.
No.
How about that?
That's incredible.
That's an Upper West Side condo. You can have a doorman.
Right.
Or you can have
Le
a doorman. Portier. Sure. You can have it right there as well. Sidney Poitier.
Yes, one of our great actors. John Stones in defense.
Yes.
Benjamin Mendy, they still have. Angelino. Zinchenko, who has actually played very well this year, the young Zinchenko, who looks to be like Kevin De Bruyne's slightly younger brother, slightly blonder somehow. Get those confused when you're watching
SPF 5000.
No doubt. So I guess they do have some depth, but a little bit of a blow to Man City nonetheless.
Yeah, teams like that have two teams of internationals. I mean, when you're sub starts for his country, and just pick whatever country that is, you're going to be all right.
Algeria will be the country I'll pick.
There you go.
Riyad Mahrez. Guy cannot even crack. He barely cracks the 18, and yet he's the best player maybe in Algerian history. I'm sure you know.
Well,
who's the Hristo Stoichkov of Algeria as we go Bulgaria?
Well, you know, they have probably the greatest club team in African history with Esperance. If you think about all that they've won.
I think about it all the time.
I think about an Algerian product who ended up playing for France and Zinedine Zidane.
There you go.
But he's not technically Algerian anymore. So, you know what? Why not go with Mahrez? But yeah, he's an amazing player. You think about Leicester winning the Premier League. He was 50% of that.
Yes, he was. And Vardy would have been 45%. And then you can dole out the rest to whomever.
Was it Joe Hart between the sticks that year?
No, I don't think so.
Who was their goalie?
Was it Schmeichel?
Oh, it was Casper Schmeichel.
Casper
Very
Schmeichel.
Good. Peter Schmeichel's
yes,
son. Good
yes.
knowledge. Yeah.
Casper is my goalie on my fantasy team, which I'm riding right now the coattails of one Sergio Kun Aguero, who is an absolute goal-scoring machine.
Yes.
But that's neither here nor there.
And that's also your favorite hot dog and your favorite bed and ghost.
Is Kun Aguero?
Casper.
Oh, Casper, of
and
course.
Your favorite tight end.
My favorite ghost. Actually, not my favorite tight end, which... That's the podcast behind the podcast. Yeah, perhaps I'll tell my Dave Casper stories about the times I've interviewed, quote, the ghost.
Wow.
Including the day I also interviewed such luminaries as Joe Morgan, had 20 minutes of one-on-one time with Jerry Rice. I mean, wow. I interviewed everybody.
Wow. Is this a golf tournament or Super Bowl
golf
radio?
Tournament.
Okay.
They all couldn't have been nicer.
Okay, great.
Anyway, except for one guy. Mr. Schmeichel.
Okay.
Elsewhere, a couple surprises as we wrap this up. Crystal Palace wins again, 1-0 over Villa, and West Ham over the Canaries, 2-0. So some intrigue at the bottom of what would be the bottom of the table. It's still obviously teams sorting themselves out.
Yeah, and the other thing was, I wrote down a little note, there was a rumor this week that Klopp says, or somebody said, your contract runs until 2022. Then what? I'm like, can we live in today's world, please? But that's sports. And he said, you know what? By then, I'll probably retire. And I was like, what? I'm like, even if he does, you still got three more seasons of him. But I think about Liverpool managers through the years. When I first started following, I remember in 1990, Kenny Dalglish, one of the greatest players of all time, he had a heart attack in the middle of the season, but he came back. Think about Graham Souness, who had a little bit, you know, Scotland legend like Dalglish. He was with Tottenham for a while as a player, but a Liverpool legend. all the fans did there was hate him. And then the ridiculous experiment of half Roy Hodges, half Gerard Houllier, who's coming over from the French national team, co-managers, which was never going to work. Finally, Hodges is like, I'm out. So you think about all the instability.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if that's ever happened.
It's crazy.
At that level.
Brendan Rodgers, when they brought him in, that's when they had a young Raheem Sterling with the team. He got knocked out after a year. It seems like they've waited forever for a guy that they like. And so that's why I think you're like, wait, only three more years. It's like, if you're a Premier League manager, you probably won't make it to that anyway. And so don't panic.
Right. And if you look at the way things went this past weekend, even in a victory, it's not exactly all smooth sailing. Even though Liverpool was able to comfortably win on the road at Burnley 3-0, you saw the exchange, or maybe you didn't, between Sadio Mane and Mo Salah. Salah had a chance to give one off to Mane, who had probably a better look at goal, and he chose to shoot. Words were exchanged when they were coming off the pitch. Much ado about nothing, or tempest fugit?
Well,
as I tried to go double Shakespeare, but I blew the back end of it.
Well,
what would the tempest be? It's not the Battle of the Tempest, but
the Tempest, that was the name of the play.
Just the Tempest. Tempest.
Yeah, the Tempest.
Okay, so
that's actually how Kate Blanchett was discovered. She was the Tempest in like Sydney, and some guy was like, we need to get her in movies.
Wow.
Because she was amazing. Yeah. And then after that, forget it.
So great. IMDb with Rick Tittle here.
But, you know, it always, I think, irks us, especially as Americans. We think, you know, one for all, Three Musketeers. This is the team. But strikers, you know, in a way, it's good that they're greedy. But usually the way you show the guy up is if he doesn't pass to you, you stand there and you throw your hands out in front of you like, look how wide open I am, you idiot. And the guy either raises his hand and goes, I know, or he looks at you and goes, screw you, I took a shot. And then it ends. So I think that's probably over.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're going to show each other kissing each other. I remember when I went to England and I went to see Tottenham for the first time in 1991, Paul Walsh, the backup striker, punched Paul Gascoigne in practice. And I wanted Paul Walsh cut from the team for that. And then when I got there, I open up the Sun and there's a picture of them cheek to cheek hugging.
Nice.
We're best friends. And I'm like, I still hate you, Paul Walsh.
And we saw that from Pep Guardiola earlier this season with the aforementioned Kun Aguero. When he was coming off the field, they exchanged words. And then about 12 minutes later, they literally were cheek to cheek.
Yeah, it was PG-13, that embrace.
It was borderline R City there. There might have been some heavy petting. I couldn't see. If the camera pans down, maybe we go NC-17.
All I thought of was two words when I saw that. Love wins.
Yes. We have too much time for you to walk off on that. That was a great... You were looking like you wanted to walk that off. That was really good.
Good night, Cleveland.
We still have
only at 22.
Yeah,
all
maybe
right.
We can copy-paste that.
That's
throw
good.
It on the
maybe
end,
I got another one.
I would have let you... I would have laid out had that been the case.
Yeah.
Let's talk transfers, Rick.
Sure.
If we can, because the transfer window is closed and... Interesting, some moves that were made, some moves that won't be made until January. Paul Pogba, you mentioned, Christian Eriksen possibly being moved to Real Madrid. That was the linkage. Didn't happen. How much does this set the table really for January?
Well, I mean, with bated breath yesterday, scanning, and I started, you know, at 11:30 because they started at 7 a.m. in England. And then I woke up, you know, petrified that Eriksen had been sold. You know who made a kind of a good move and a weird move? And we mentioned them because they are in the Champions League. Napoli, the Neapolitan ice creams themselves, they went out and they got Fernando Llorente, who's, as much as he's not that great, he's still, you know, contributed some goals and assists in the Champions League that were vital. They got Chucky Lozano, who is the best Mexican player of the last 10 years. He's better than Chicharito. He's probably their best forward since Howard Borghetti. That's not a small move for them. And he already played a game and just hit the ground running. So Napoli, I know we kind of brushed them aside. And I still don't think they get through their group. But adding Chucky Lozano, that was a huge thing for Napoli.
I'm going to borrow from ESPN and add to that by saying another club that seems to be on the rise after the window is Leipzig, the team that you were talking
Leipzig,
about.
Leipzig, yeah.
Leipzig.
Yeah, yeah.
In our Champions League discussion from before, they quietly have made some moves. Hannes Wolf and Christopher Nkunku, if I may, get a take two on that. Were acquired, one from Red Bull Salzburg, one from PSG. Apparently, they're looking to add, and they're looking to maybe advance through a relatively soft group in the Champions League.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm not too privy to those guys. And now somebody will say, Rick Tittle, I'm from that country, and he laughed at Dan trying to pronounce it. Yeah, those two guys suck. Well, we'll get it.
Nkunku.
Nkunku.
Yeah,
yeah. I appreciate, as I said, I don't know every soccer player in the world, but I appreciate any team that gets into the Champions League, especially a team like Leipzig, and they're like, we're going to take advantage of it. It's funny because my relatives in West Germany, who I used to root for West Germany, but then the wall came down in 89 and all that. My cousins say that they root for teams from the DDR, like Hertha Berlin and Leipzig, because they feel sorry for them, that they don't have the money, and everybody wants to get the hell out. And so they said that they kind of pull for the former East German teams because they are behind the eight ball. So I kind of, with that in mind, not that I like Leipzig.
And where is Leipzig as it relates to Berlin? Is it east of Berlin?
South. It's south. It's in the kingdom of Bayreuth. Or Bayreuth, as we would say. Mm-hmm. And it's just above...
Beirut. We would call that Beirut.
Beirut.
I believe
you're the best baseball player to ever live. Just above Bavaria.
Nice.
Bayern. Yeah, just above...
That's Munich, right? Bavaria.
Yeah, okay. Right. Just above Munich as
so
you go up.
So between Berlin and Munich.
Yeah, it's sort of near Dresden, which the British firebombed.
Right.
Capital
Sorry
of Saxony. So it's Bayreuth and Saxony next to each other.
Okay. So Leipzig, one to certainly follow as we make our way through... into the Champions League. Oh, you can't have winners unless you also have losers. As we borrow briefly from Jim Carrey.
Sure.
Among the losers, Roma, who have acquired Chris Smalling from Man U, and Henrik Mkhitaryan. Hardly transformative moves, but they're listed here on this ESPN article, among the losers.
It's amazing to me because I remember when Mkhitaryan was with Man United and they beat Tottenham 1 year, 1-0. And the people, when it was rumored that Mkhitaryan was leaving Arsenal, there was not even one respite. There were 2,000 posts I saw saying, thank the Lord, get this piece of trash. He had just come on as a sub against Tottenham. I didn't realize that he was their whipping boy. And they absolutely hated him. Chris Smalling, for me, is over the hill. He was one of those hot young stars on Fulham when Clint Dempsey was there. And they beat Juventus in the Europa League. Remember Clint Dempsey's chipped goal, the most famous goal in Fulham's history. And so Man United's like, we want Chris Smalling. And they got many good years out of Chris Smalling. But now, I'm sure he wants to prove he still should be in the England setup as we go into an international break.
Yes, Mkhitaryan, by the way, 30 years old as well. Nikola Kalinic, also picked up from Fiorentina. He's 31, so Roma looking to add but not making significant moves. One more side, Rick, as we take a quick look at the closing of the transfer window. PSG, they keep Neymar. Wouldn't that be considered good news?
Yes, absolutely it's considered good news, especially with all the speculation that he had. By the way, I think I mentioned this before, but I will reiterate about Fiorentina. I know the owner, Massimo Camisso. He owns the Cosmos, and he just bought them a few months ago, and I had him on my show talking about congratulations of buying La Viola there in Florence, and he says, if you come, owner's box. So I have no plans to go back to Florence right now, but I'm just saying, if we find ourselves there, and I say we, owner's box.
Yes, I can see us doing a live pod, Golazo Supremo. We'll have to rename it to the Italian.
Yeah, Calcio Calcio.
Is that what it would be?
Imbecile testa di cazzo.
I think that we could definitely build on something
which
here.
Means imbecile D-head.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
How about just Avante Calcio, which means go for, or actually Avante is walk. Forza means go. Forza Calcio. Let's go soccer.
That's good. That's really good.
And come back next week. Is this our 26th or 27th?
This, I think, is 27. And I'm just trying to get the Fiorentina schedule up here so
yes.
We can pick the correct game. Because when you go to Florence, you really want to be there in kind of early spring to mid-spring.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd like to see a win, if possible, against a decent team. Maybe we go April 19th against Hellas Verona.
That is a local derby from the Veneto.
How would you know that?
Yes, that's that area right there.
You're incredible. You never cease to amaze. But, there it is.
But I forgot your name. Don.
Don. Just call me DK. April 19th, Fiorentina, Hellas Verona. We're there.
This was a production of the 95.7 The Game Podcast Network.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.